Hi there, this is Vicki Ronchetti with The Confirmation Conversation, because who doesn't want to talk about dogs? Today we're going to be talking about co-ownerships. I wanted to do this topic because frequently people will come to me and ask about co-ownerships. Either they are getting ready to purchase a dog and the discussion of co-ownerships has come up with a breeder, or they're already in a co-ownership and they don't really know what that means, except for they had to do that in order to get the dog. So we're going to talk about co-ownerships, why breeders do co-ownerships, how they're good, how they're not, and quite a bit more on this episode of the podcast. So what does co-ownership mean? Co-ownership means that on the dog's AKC papers, there's more than one owner. So maybe a couple, a family, maybe my husband and I both have our names on a dog. We're co-owners, but you know, we're the same. It's our dog. But frequently you'll have somebody else on as a co-owner, usually the breeder of the dog, sometimes the owner of the sire or the stud dog can be a co-owner, but generally it's the breeder. And so it's not necessarily a legal ownership, meaning that courts don't necessarily recognize that as a legal ownership. So you couldn't just call the police and say, look at these AKC papers. This means I'm the dog. It just means in regard to the AKC, that's one of the owners of the dog. So not necessarily from a legal standpoint or a real property ownership standpoint. So it means that when you look at your dog's AKC papers, there is more than one owner on there. So why would breeders do that? Why would they require somebody, you know, co-own their dogs? This comes up pretty often. And frequently it comes up often because people will say, well, the breeder's the co-owner, but I have to train the dog and I have to pay for all the food and the vet bills. And, you know, why do I have to do that if they're the co-owner? And honestly, that gets into a whole nother scenario or discussion, which is contracts. I mean, it depends. It really depends on the individual. I do co-ownership sometimes. For instance, I sold a puppy to a family with their first of that breed, the first Lao Chin. And it was for their daughter who wanted to do juniors. And we co-owned him. And basically, I support everything she wanted to do with him. So she groomed him, trained him, finished him, did all the training. And I actually offered her me signing off after she finished him, just because I felt like she deserved that if she wanted it. But they just left me on because the parents would have to be a co-owner anyways or something. But it's her dog. So for me, it was just a co-ownership because I didn't know them very well. This was the first, you know, litter I had of this breed. And I just wanted to, you know, I just wanted to get to know them and make sure everything was okay. But there wasn't a lot of other requirements for me with that dog, other than what's in my contract, which is more about how they care for the dog, what happens to the dog if they, for some reason, couldn't keep him, things like that. But not really in regard to the co-ownership piece. But the reason why I did it and the reason why a lot of breeders do it is to protect what they've built or what they're trying to build. So for me, that was my first litter. I don't have years and years of Lao Chin breeding in my own lines and a big kennel that I need to protect. But I want to be responsible and I want to make sure that a dog that I produced isn't indiscriminately bred. Now, he could still be. Not that individual. I'm not worried about that. But we'll talk about the differences and how co-ownerships can be different in regard to having a male or a female dog. But a lot of times breeders just simply want to protect their lines. They want to make sure that, you know, they have a future say in what happens. There are times when people are very interested in getting a breed and excited and very in touch and constant contact with the breeder. And then there's sometimes when they're not. So it could be that they just want to make sure that they know what's going to happen with the dog or bitch that they sold to this person and potentially this new person. Frankly, some people do it because they just want to co-own a dog with a friend. Maybe one of the dogs that I co-own, a friend and I imported him and we split the money to get him here. And then we have different, you know, it's a different relationship we have with him. You know, he's my dog as terms of my pet, and caring for him and handling his breeding. And she has access to him for breeding. So that would be one reason. I have a friend who has a bitch that they imported from another country and she did it with a friend. And partly it's to help with finances. It can be expensive. Sometimes it's not even the cost of the dog. It's the shipping to get the dog from another country here. So it could be something like that. Another reason is that breeders, you know, over the last several years, there's been a lot of cases that have been made public about dogs that ended up in animal shelters and then the breeders didn't have any proof or way to help that dog and get that dog out. So then the dog gets turned over to a rescue program, even though they may have a breeder that wants to take responsibility for that individual animal. So of course, you know, microchips can help with that, but some breeders actually want to have and it could be, you know, more specific, breed specific. You know, some breeds, maybe they've had a big issue. It could be regional where in this area, rescues maybe are not good about wanting to return dogs to breeders. But that's one reason why breeders do it. They want to make sure that they have a way to prove ownership of that animal if it ends up in a rescue or a shelter. Another reason is that for some AKC events such as juniors, you must have a co-ownership unless somebody is going to completely give over their dog. So in case you are not aware, in junior showmanship, a lot of the times juniors will get dogs that are, you know, a breeder's dog that maybe is a new dog getting started, or maybe it's already a champion dog and the junior is looking for a dog to compete with. But in order to do that, the junior has to be one of the owners of the dog. So if that's the case, if that breeder still wants to have access to that dog, then they need to keep their name on it. Now, I do understand that AKC is considering changing this requirement, which is interesting and makes perfect sense, because I want to read you. This is out of the procedures about registration matters and regarding co-owner contracts. And this is an AKC document. This is from their actual booklet. The AKC states co-ownership arrangements in far too many cases lead to problems. While AKC registration application forms provide for more than one owner, we recommend that co-ownerships be avoided. It has been our experience that purchasing a dog outright is preferable. And it goes on to say, we would like to point out that if a co-owner is suspended of all AKC privileges, then for the term of the suspension, recording of a transfer of the dog that is co-owned is barred and registrations of litters or sired by or whelped by the dog in question are barred. Wins taken by the dog in AKC licensed or member events are subject to disallowment. For the reasons cited above, AK recommends that co-ownerships be avoided. So what that means, well, the first part means, obviously, AKC thinks they should be avoided. But the second part means that if you co-own, and this just came up recently with somebody in my mentor program, so it's a little bit fresh too. If I co-own a dog with someone and that person does something that gets them suspended from the AKC, that dog that we co-own cannot participate in events. So even if the person was suspended for something totally different, it's still going to affect the dog that I cone with them. So that's another reason why it can get a little sticky. But I think it's interesting that the AKC requires it in juniors co-ownership, you know, that the junior's name be on the dog, and that they also don't, you know, recommend people do co-ownerships. Finally, sometimes it's for financial support. So if somebody is, and this is, again, this is something that a lot of new people, lay people to dog showing don't understand, but the dogs that are top winning dogs, the dogs that are, you know, really high in the rankings are going to a lot of dog shows. It's very expensive to get these dogs, you know, wherever they need to be. So remember, the handler is being paid, the handler is traveling, the dog is traveling, assistants might be traveling. You're doing advertising that can be very expensive, entry fees, all that kind of stuff. So frequently, those top winning dogs will have many financial backers. So they could have just add one person who has the money to finance it. Or there are some dogs that have, I've seen like five names on there. Like literally there's that many names on there because some of those people are just offering financial assistance. So that can be another reason why people would do a co-ownership. So there's different types of co-ownerships, because if somebody sells a bitch, obviously it is, well, not obviously, but I think that it's typically more worrisome for bitches because they can have babies, right? And people don't want their bitches to be bred indiscriminately. They don't want them to be not bred well and not have proper care and all those kinds of things. So it is easier when you're getting into showing dogs, frankly, to get a male sometimes. I'll tell people that when they'll say that they want to get a show dog and they really want to get a nice dog, you know, it's easier to pay your dues sort of and get your feet wet with a male, because you're going to be more likely to get a better dog because, one, most breeders keep their bitches. I mean, it is a very common practice and common formula to build a really strong bitch line. So they, you know, they keep their bitches. They keep the bitch best bitches they can, and then they can go out and breed to outside males or males that are their breeding but owned by other people. So it can be more challenging to get a bitch. The other thing is that when you have a bitch and you breed your bitch, all of the co-owners, all of the owners on that bitch must sign off on litters. Okay, so if you have a bitch and she's co-owned by three people, in order for that litter to be registered, all of the three people must sign off. With a dog, only one owner has to sign off if he's been used for stud. So that changes things, right? It makes it where you have a little less control with your males, but it, with your bitches, I mean, it, you can't, if I sell a bitch to somebody and they go breed it to, you know, some crummy dog down the street, then I can not sign off on that. Not that that would happen, but, you know, that could happen. So sometimes breeders will do co-ownerships on bitches where they just want to co-own it until the dog is a finished champion or the dog attains some title that they're looking for. Or maybe until the bitch is bred, they've had say maybe in that first litter, and then they get a puppy back from that breeding, then they may sign off. So there's a lot of different, again, this has to do with the contract and what that particular breeder wants. And it is very different in some breeds. I mean, there are some breeds where it's very difficult to get a nice boy or girl. It's very, very expensive. And then there are some where it's not hard to just go out and get a dog without a co-ownership. It really depends on the individual breeder and sometimes the individual breed. So I do think it's a bit easier with the males. you may still be required to do a co-ownership, but it may be just until the dog finishes, or maybe they want to have, you know, some say in who you're allowing that dog to be used with in terms of breeding. But again, that would come more into your contract, because someone could co-own a dog, a stud dog, and then not need multiple signatures on that. So, you know, are co-ownerships a good idea? Well, I think it depends. I mean, I co-own a dog with one of my closest friends that, you know, she had lost her dog, and I just thought it would be fun for, you know, for her to have, you know, her name on that puppy. I co-own my stud dog, and that relationship is fine. I mean, that works out well for us. I don't think it's something I personally need to just run around and do. I don't always want to do it. If I'm getting a dog, I prefer to have it outright. My last litter, I asked one of my close friends who got two puppies from me if my name could be on one, just because if she gets bred, I would like to be able to show the puppy and bred by. Oh, that's another thing I forgot. That is another reason why a breeder might want to co-own a bitch, because if they co-own that bitch and then you go off and show that bitch, and then the breeder, let's say, helps you breed the bitch and is involved in choosing the stud dog and maybe even helping to make that happen, and then they're going to get a puppy back, they might want to show that puppy and bred by. So the only way they can do that is if they're listed as a breeder on the bitch. So that's another reason why a breeder might, sorry, I forgot to say that earlier. That's another reason why a breeder might require it. If they really like a bitch and they know that it's going to be probably be finished and be bred, then they may want to have the opportunity to get a puppy back and show that puppy and bred by. And in order to do that, they would have to be listed as a breeder. So I do think it's something that you have to be really careful of. I am a little concerned sometimes about how people are in co-ownerships and they don't even really understand it, or they're in co-ownerships and there's no contract. It's just like they buy this dog and it's like, well, we're co-owning it. And it's like, well, you know, again, it is about the contract, but also, you know, you are not necessarily having as much control of that individual as you might want. And sometimes that's not a problem, but sometimes it is. And in my case, because I work with a lot of dogs with behavior issues, fear issues, that becomes an issue sometimes, where I'm working with the owner and they're saying, you know, I want you to help me and help my dog. And I'm saying, this dog has some real issues we need to work out. And then if you've got a co-owner that's saying, no, he's fine, we're just going to show him, you know, I don't care, then that becomes an issue, because now you've got two people who are listed as the owner and they're not in agreement on necessarily how you're going to move forward with the dog's training or behavior modification or showing career, frankly. So there is a lot to think about. But basically, just to kind of circle back, what it really means is that there's other people on the dog's AKC papers, and you know, that's going to affect things like breedings, registering litters, and AKC suspensions and that kind of thing. So I think it's an important thing for people to understand and think about. It's important to do your homework. It's important to have a really, really good relationship and good feeling with the breeder that you're working with, so you can feel like it's going to be a good thing. And I think it's really important, even if it's a friend, it's a good idea to have a contract, have it in writing, so that at least if any issues are going to come up, you can look at those things and you can actually decide if a co-ownership is a good idea before you've already agreed to that, and not really feel that you're sure about what all the specifics of that agreement are. So you really want to make sure you know exactly what you're getting into, what you're agreeing to, what your responsibilities are, what the other person's responsibilities are, so that you don't run into problems down the line. But do your homework on that and really think about it. and make sure that, you know, it's someone that you feel you are going to have a good relationship with and that everybody's on the same page. Thank you for listening, and I hope you enjoyed.